Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio. Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. And our call-in, first of all, today is Wednesday, February the 18th, 2015. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome, everybody, to the show. We are honored, delighted, and blessed by the fact that you choose to join us. And each day that you choose to join us to expand and extend the understanding of this process of being able to remove from our awareness, from our experience, and from our structures those things which never belong within our experience. And I had an interesting encounter in the workshop last night here in Fort Lauderdale, which brought to mind a quote that I believe it's in Illusions that Richard Bach speaks about. And he says, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. And it's interesting to watch how a mind, once it is steeped in a certain thought system, is not able to hear or willing to hear something outside of the thought system. And it seemed like a good example to open the show with today, to just really take a look at that dynamic. And it was so, I think, so obvious to everybody who was in the class last night. We actually spent almost half an hour in conversation before the class started with this idea of, well, you can't really tell people that what they're doing is their responsibility, or that might make them feel guilty. They might feel afraid. They might feel as though they're to blame. And I walked through several examples of, well, you'll notice that we're not saying anybody's to blame. We're not saying anybody's guilty. We're saying that we're each responsible for the energies that are going on inside of us. And there was just this round-robin conversation that kept coming back to, yes, but this person might feel guilty. And so I finally pointed out, well, here's my take. If you tell someone that they're responsible for their disease, whatever it is, it's the ABC disease, then my offering would be, and when they hear that they're responsible for it, they go into guilt, then their disease is not the ABC disease as it's been labeled, but disease is guilt. And they need to learn to start to forgive their guilt. Well, what if you tell someone they're responsible and they go into fear? Then, you know, then you're scaring them. It's like, no, wait a minute. That's all denial, dissociation, and projection. If I hear something and I go into fear, I have fear. And so my disease process is fear. And I need to be about forgiving that. And toward the end of the class, another gentleman asked a question about the newborn child and don't we all come in perfect, and why isn't everything perfect? And it pointed out that what the newborn child comes in with, everything of its generations, it's stored in physiology genetically, and whatever energies are there that are stimulated are going to tend to play out. And if we learn to take responsibility for what's playing out, then we can change it. If we keep pretending that we're victims of whatever's playing out, then we're disempowered and we can't change it. And so I gave an example of imagine a parents who conceive a child. They love the idea of having a child. They're so ready. They're so happy. They're so conscious in conceiving, and everything's wondrous. And they go in for the delivery, and everything is just fabulous. And I pointed out there's some research that shows that you can take someone, you know, a 50-year-old man, and put him in a deep somnambulistic state of hypnosis and take him back to his birth, and he can tell you who was in the room. He can tell you the emotional state of everybody. He can even tell you the hairdo his mother was wearing. All of those energies impact. And so let's imagine that this child is being born, and mother's excited, dad's excited, the doctor's excited, everybody's happy. And so what's resonating in the child in that first hour at birth and that first hour afterward? It's like, obviously, it's, you know, the foundation for this child, the energetic foundation resonated by all that enthusiasm and excitement and welcome, is going to be, hey, this is going to be a pretty good life. But let's imagine that once that first child delivers, all of a sudden the doctor detects a second heartbeat. And the doctor goes into terror because his malpractice has just gone up, and this could mean the fact that he's going to be sued for malpractice. He didn't detect that there was a twin, that there was a second child. And so we've got one terrified person in the room. Remember, the child in hypnosis, or the adult in hypnosis, can go back and tell the emotional state of everybody in the room. The doctor turns to Dad and says, Dad, I've got a surprise for you. You're going to have a second baby. Now, Dad loves having a child. Nothing to do with the second child coming, but Dad goes into fear. Oh, my God, we haven't got room in the house. How will we afford this? We just had the money to have one baby, and we've got a room all set up, but we don't even have a place for a second baby. And so there's all this fear and trauma around the idea of a second child. Mom is told, there's a second child, you've got twins. And she goes into, oh my God, I was going to breastfeed, and I've heard that it can be painful, but I was going to go through it, and I'm going to have to do that with two babies and go through that. Oh my God, I don't know if I could do that. And so she's in sadness and fear. What's the foundation energetically that's resonated in the mind of the second child compared to the first? Obviously, life is going to hold a different filter. There's going to be a different filter active for life for the first child compared to the second child. The reason I'm telling this part of the experience last night is Dennis Zolman, who at the beginning of the class had been arguing for victims and victimhood, and, you know, we got to take care of the victims. And meanwhile, I'm pointing out, excuse me, sir, there are no victims, only volunteers. Engage in energy, you get to be victim. Let go of that energy, you get to change the game. And so, as I tell this story, and the first family gets, oh, okay, I can see how those two lives would be so different based on just that one event, let alone a whole lifetime of events. That makes sense. But this other gentleman raises his hand and says, well, now, couldn't we say that that second child is a victim? And it's like, this man was just committed to see victimhood. And of course, the reason one would be committed to seeing victimhood is because that's the brain cells they have. And so, of course, my counsel would be, well, start forgiving your brain cells. Start forgiving what's in your structure about victimhood and let this go. Well, yeah, but you know, you've got one child who started is great, and the other child, you know, they were a victim. It's like, well, let me share a poem that I think says it all. And I told just one more story before I went into this poem. And that is the story about the interviewer that went to the small town to interview a pair of brothers. And he goes to the and finds the first brother who's homeless, a drunk on the street, and interviews him and says, you know, how could you find yourself in such a terrible place in your life? I said, well, my father was a drunk, you know. I was beaten all my life. You know, how else could I turn out but that? So the interview completes his interview, and he goes and finds his brother, who happens to be the wealthiest businessman in town. And he says, to what do you attribute your success? And the brother says, well, you know, when I was a kid, my father was a drunk. I got beat all the time, and that made me strong, and I chose to stand up and become successful. What else could I do? And, of course, we can all tell our story about how some circumstance is responsible for the way we're living our lives. Some other person is the problem in our lives. And then I shared a poem that, to me, sums it all up. And you know, seeing as how we're down here in Florida, we're near the ocean, it's an ocean-going poem. And it goes like this. One ship sails east and the other west on the self-same winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales that determines the way she goes. There may be all kinds of predisposing conditions that occur in somebody's life that would lead one to believe this is going to be a life of disaster. But if one chooses to take charge of their own minds and forgive victimhood, they will sail to total success. The person who has all the wonderful starts in life, all the advantages, can turn into a spoiled brat and see their lives going downhill. It's got nothing to do with the circumstances. So whatever circumstance I find myself in, if I am willing, you know, there's a great example, one I always go back to when I think about circumstances and, you know, how people will often say circumstances make the man. Some people even say clothes make the man. But you look at Mahatma Gandhi, and Gandhi did his most important and his best work from a prison cell. And some people would say he's a victim. But Gandhi, who functioned as a human being. You know, there's a great scene. If you haven't seen the movie Gandhi, get it, or it's been a while since you've seen it. There's some wonderful lessons in regard to this work in that movie. Gandhi is in prison, and they've decided they're going to let him loose. And so he's brought into the office of Colonel Smuts, who's kind of the symbol of the whole British oppression. And when he goes in his prison garb, he's offered food, and Gandhi says, no, I've already dined in the prison. A little bit of tongue-in-cheek humor there. But he greets Colonel Smuts. And, you know, Smuts, I mean, what the British did have done all over the world is unconscionable and insane. But Gandhi, when referring to that, lets Colonel Smuts know, you know, sir, I am not going to cooperate with your insanity. You will get no support from me for oppressing the Indian nation for one more second. But, he says, hope that doesn't come between us as men. In other words, I stand in a space of being love, and I support you being in that space of love. And I recognize you as that, and yep, there are a few failings that each of us have had. I'm not going to cooperate with your failings, but I am going to see you as a true human being, single-handedly. That is, as a leader, Gandhi removed the British from India. And he was very clear early in the campaign that he was going to do that. And he said, while all kinds of other people were, their sails were set for fight and strife and they were victims, he said, but they will leave as our friends, which they did. And this is the power of a true human being and a true human life, whatever the circumstances are. And so you may find yourself in a circumstance where you point at someone, your child, your spouse, your parent, and you want to make them the circumstance that makes you act a certain way. You're the only reason that I'm in this anger. You're the only reason I'm in pain. This is your fault. And that's the victim game. That means that those words of denial will cause my mind to hide from me what I need to heal the most. And I will find myself playing out a victimhood. Then I choose to change the set of the sails. I can take all of the same circumstances and use them to lift me. And so we're here to support you and lift you. And if you have a circumstance, a situation, where there's some forgiveness that's needed, we're here 1,000% to support you in doing that. And remembering that forgiveness, as we're talking about it here, has nothing to do with how I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. Forgiveness, in first century Aramaic terms, speaks of a tool with which you go inside yourself and remove the source of your pain, your sadness, your grief, your rage, your fear, your response to circumstances, and you change everything. And we're here to support everybody to change everything and move into human life. You know, if you hold a newborn child, you know what human life is. This is what is designed to set our sails in our lives, this awesome active presence of love that we are. And so that's what we're here to support you in doing. So, Dr. Tim, how do you be today, sir?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Awesome.
I enjoyed your intro.
Thank you, sir.
I'm still enjoying the energy from last night's support group.
Tell us about it.
Well, we had one of our longtime, very consistent members who is a practitioner of body talk who made available to the group a 40-minute video treatment of the founder of Body Talk, and it was just a wonderful overlay to think in terms of how our minds drive the body. And then we had discussion about that and discussion about past worksheets, and we had somebody again volunteer to do a worksheet. And he's a retired gentleman who has an adult daughter, and he's in quite a stuck point. And he, as you know, you were just describing, he's been conditioned by the culture for a lot of years, and he's convinced that what he's feeling, his guilt that he's feeling, is because of the situation with his daughter. And the anger and the disappointment he's feeling has to do with his daughter and her situation, and his inability to change it and make it all better. So we went through the worksheet process and had him specify his goals, his thoughts, his feelings, his description of the events, reconnect to love and find that loving energy, because in each worksheet process, that's what actually does the healing. And then when we got him to the point where he canceled the goal and just asked to be shown the hidden part of his mind. And we had like 12, maybe 13 people in the room last night, so everybody was following along or doing their own worksheets. And he breathed, and when he came out of it, he said, well, he now feels strong. And then we, you know, explored a little bit of what he saw, if anything, when he was doing the release. And he talked about an event that happened 40 years ago, not long after his daughter's birth. And he got to see that what he's feeling today, he's been carrying around in energetic patterns and beliefs since 40 years ago. And it really has nothing to do with his daughter's situation, because his daughter's situation hadn't changed at all in the 35 minutes it took us to get through the worksheet process. And yet he was feeling very differently, from an 8 out of 10 upset of guilt and disappointment and anger. And we highlighted for him how he needed to do separate worksheets for the anger and the disappointment. And then he was down to a level 3 or 4 upset, which later he connected with sadness because of the event that happened when, you know, he got in touch with it, that what happened 40 years ago was loaded in his mind with energies and beliefs and conclusions that he still hasn't dismantled. So we helped him outline a variety of other worksheets that he could do to keep working on that. And it was a very powerful worksheet process for the group and for him. And it was another example of the Hydra situation. And then I was told, we had a couple people who attended this group who hadn't been there in years, but they used to come on a regular basis when we held it in a different town. And one of them sent me a link, which I posted on Facebook. And this is a psychologist, and the title of the talk, it's a local TED talk, but the title of the talk is related to how we don't put anywhere near as much emphasis on mental hygiene as we do on physical hygiene. And he's a young psychologist who has an identical twin, and he does a very nice, I think about a 17-minute talk, where he highlights the absolute essential need for us to spend at least as much time in our mental emotional hygiene as we do in our physical hygiene. And
yay!
And that's what we're doing in the groups every week, and that's what we're promoting on the show. And so I know you would enjoy this 17-minute talk, so you can get it through the Facebook link, or I can send an email to Jeannie about it. But so I just had another wonderful session with somebody else who's moving through the forgiveness process on important issues in their lives, and I'm just feeling blessed and highly favored.
Cool. Awesome. Well, you know, you've heard me make the reference oftentimes, and it kind of shocks people when I say, well, you know, I look around the room, and it looks like everybody in the room has probably washed your body every day for the last 30 years. And is there anybody who would say, well, you know, I've been doing it every day for 30 years. I think it's time for me to stop. And, of course, people laugh because they know what's going to happen. But they never, it's difficult, it seems, for people to transfer that to, if I don't wash my mind every day, then my life starts to stink like my body. What if I don't wash my body? You know, it's just, it's like, it seems to be difficult for people to make that transition and to come to the point where they're willing to give time to their mental hygiene. And that's a good way to say it, and right on track for sure. So I will watch that video. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, I'm trying to remember the fellow. I actually have met him and studied with him several years ago, the Aussie who created Body Talk, and I'm not remembering his name.
John Veltheim,
yeah. He's over, I don't know if he's still in Sarasota or not, but I spent some time with him a few years back in Sarasota. I don't know if that's still the base he practices from, but he's doing some good work.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, I think it's an adjunct to what you do. In every time I've heard a presentation about this, it's essentially recognizing the powerful creative force of mind energy as it affects the physical functioning. And he acknowledges the need to chew food carefully and choose your foods carefully and have your state of mind be clear when you're going to eat, and the effects of old mind patterns, that mental and emotional belief structures that get triggered by the food, that can inhibit digestion and inhibit the absorption of minerals. And since it's all energy anyway, it's an energetic system, and it appears to have this physical aspect, but his work is so clearly related to the core of what you're teaching and what Yeshua taught about. It's all in your mind energy. It's a creation of your mind energy. You've been given this creative force, and you are always creating, whether you choose to be conscious of it or not. And if you want to know what you've been doing with your mind energy, just take a look at your life. Because how do I know when I'm doing it right? I look at the fruits. And if I've got something in my life I don't like right now, I go to work with the tools to dismantle what I'm thinking and feeling and practicing about it, and I watch it change. So
we could accurately refer to the worksheet as mental floss.
You could do that.
Yeah, that might be a cute new way to talk about the worksheet. I've got to do some mental floss here. Got to clean out some of the old crusty thinking.
I'm still calling it the reality management worksheet because I have...
Oh, okay.
I have woven that into my practice, and it is now in charts, and it is something that I recommend people do on a regular basis. And so
yeah.
It doesn't work for me to keep changing the name of it, but you could refer to it that way, and it would be quite accurate, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. Cool. Awesome. Well, anything else exciting to report?
No, that's it. This is. I don't think there is anything much more exciting than that. It's just a delight to be in the presence of that many devoted, careful, loving people, and they're supporting each other and getting rid of the garbage. It was just a phenomenal event last night.
Yay. Fabulous. All right, well, let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anything happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Of course, our call-in number is 646-200-4169. If you're on one of those stations that we can't see in our chat room, if you or our control panel, if you dial that number and push 1, you'll be talking to us. Jeannie?
Yes, we do have a caller, and it's area code 910. You're on the air.
Hey, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Hey there, young lady. How are you?
Hi, I'm Michael and Jeannie. It's Susan in North Carolina, just for anybody who doesn't recognize the voice.
I gotcha. And congratulations on order. Susan came back to Heartland last summer and did Laws of Living for the second time. And she's halfway through her second Laws of Living class with, what do you have, 8 people this time?
I do.
That's just so awesome. Congratulations. Tell us how it's going.
Well, it's going. I was just making notes while you were talking. There are a couple things I want to make sure that I had notes on in case I got a little lost in conversation. But one thing I wanted to say is when you were talking with your intro, it was really great. It was awesome. The part about Gandhi, I was having chills. It just very, you know, touched me deeply. So anyway, that was beautiful. I'll encourage my people to listen to this show. It's just really great. So anyway. The Laws of Living is fantastic. I just was talking to you the other day on the phone, and I'd just love to share it with the group. The first time that we had our first class, we introduced ourselves and just said a little bit about our intention and what we'd like to get out of the course. And one of the gentlemen introduced himself, and he crossed his arms, and he said, I don't like anybody, and I really don't like myself. And then he went on to talk a little bit more about how he wanted to work on that and other things. But the true miracle was the last week that we met, which was a week ago tomorrow, was our fourth week together. And he was in class, and he showed me at the end of class a text that he had sent to someone where he was telling this person that he was holding them in a space of love. And they wrote back, and I know it's amazing. They wrote back and said, what does that mean? You know, those are new words. And anyway, he said, he explained it, well, hold a newborn baby. What you feel when you hold a newborn baby, he said, that is what I am feeling and holding the space for you to be. and back to the car is the way he put it. And it was just really such a shift. And he was, usually he sits right beside the door, as close as chair he can get to the door. And last week he was over in the middle of the room next to me, probably the one that was the farthest in. And the shifts in consciousness, and the last couple of weeks, I've just been led to start with the meditation where we ground and we connect with Rupa, and we ask that we our minds and our hearts be open to receive the work and that we're going to study, and to hold a space of love for ourselves and for each other during the process. And that has been such, I mean, it's like we're beginning, like you said, there's a little resistant glue in the beginning of the class, and then it just kind of comes together in this beautiful space where people can, you know, feel safe enough to have whatever issues need to surface come up and have the support of the group and feel the support of the group. And this time I was a little bit concerned because a lot of the people were brand new to the work. The worksheet process was something. Last year, or last time I did the Laws of Living, everyone had been doing the worksheets for about a year or maybe longer. And this year, and this time rather, it's like this is brand new people that have never done a worksheet. So I was like, oh, well, we may need more than 8 weeks here. But it's worked out really beautiful with having the Still Point Breathing at the church the first Saturday of the month. We have that to offer to move through. And I've done a couple of hours of worksheet, kind of like a little bit of a, I don't know how you would put it, just like a worksheet, I don't know, intensive, and it's a mini intensive or whatever, and it's been very helpful.
Right.
So they're coming around. Everything's working so beautifully. I'm so grateful to Rupa. And then we close the class at the end, and I've got this guy in class that's very dedicated to helping me remember, because you know how it is to try to keep that course on track. He helped me remember to close, and we always acknowledge each other for holding the space of love, thank Rupa for supporting us, and acknowledge ourselves for having our willingness to come to class and to give ourselves this time to heal and to become the space of love for ourselves. So it's magnificent. It's just wonderful. I just get so much out of it, but it's so funny, Michael. I talked to you, I think it was on Sunday morning. And as soon as I talk to you, I must hit a new level of vitality. Oh, you know what breaks loose? And here I am in my stuff. And I'm thinking, I'm supposed to call Monday or Tuesday. I told you I would. And I'm doing worksheets, and I'm clearing out. And I'm thinking, it's a gift, Susan. It's a gift. You're in your Laws of Living, and you're actually working it too. So it's always a gift. But so I'm calling today. I finally shifted through that, so I felt, you know, in a better space. And that time opened up on the job, which was unpredictable too, so it's really good. And
right.
I need session 8 while I'm thinking about.
Yes,
it.
I'll take care of that. It'll be a couple of days,
okay.
But I'll get it to you.
Okay, I appreciate that. I just want to make sure that I get it before I get to crunch time at the end. I'm trying to get.
Yes.
I am not trying. I'm
sure.
Getting everything printed ahead of time. So
awesome.
But everything's going wonderful. I was going to look at my list to see if there was anything else I was supposed to tell you. Is there anything you want to add or ask?
Well, I just, you know, when you get somebody who comes into a class, and from what you shared, this is not a 15-year-old kid that sat in the class and said, I don't like myself, I don't like anybody. This is somebody who's been in this pattern for a few decades. And in 4 weeks, to be able to move that, the thinking of a man in that place into, and I think I know who you're speaking of and what his scores were on the personal code evaluation. Heavy-duty crisis. And in 4 weeks to make that shift, I mean, you are literally creating the kingdom of heaven on earth. And, you know, and I say that literally from the Aramaic perspective that, you know, when the Greeks said the kingdom of heaven in Aramaic, the words were the community of love is here and now it's within us. And the way you're doing that, the contribution you're making to that whole community is just monumental. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your support for you and Jeannie and for everyone, Dr. Tim, everyone. I mean, people are listening to the radio show that's in the class and getting so much out of it, learning so much. I think it is very helpful. I do my best to be on every day, even if I can't speak. And, you know, this person has said, I'm already telling people about this course and recruiting for your next class, and I want to be in
all right.
class, and I want to support you to do this work financially, help you. So, I mean, it's like Ruka is just it's such a blessing.
Wow.
Know, just staying in the moment of being where my feet are, you know, and doing the next right action is really helpful. I have to remind myself right here, right now is what I'm doing, the next. And it's getting to be where it's so much joy in the moment that it's easier and easier to make that choice. So, and I could talk more. I could tell you about the support group last night. We've been watching Getting the Stress You Need. We did a
Tell us.
Yeah, we did a love exchange last week at the beginning. And I'm telling you, Michael, when I said something about we're going to do a love exchange, one girl in the group, she was like, no, I don't know if I'm ready for that. Well, that just set everybody else's. It resonated their fear. So I just went through a little talk about how important it is that we acknowledge that we're the perfect love that we are, that we look each other in the eyes. And a lot of times I notice that rarely when I go out do I get that attention from another person. Everyone seems to be in their own space of doing what they're doing at the time. So after talking for a few minutes, the whole group made a decision, yes, we were going to do it. So we did the love exchange last week. And then this week, every person came back that was there last week. So I opened again and looked around the room and said, how about we do a love exchange again? Because the laws of living, you know, the homework is do two a day in the mirror with yourself and do a two with another person. And a lot of the people live alone.
Right.
So that they don't have a lot of opportunity. I said, let's do that again. And the one thing that I got last week from one of the girls who was really stressed, late coming into class, straight from work, and afterwards she looked like a different person. And she actually acknowledged, I was so stressed when I got here, and that made such a difference in the way I feel. I'm so peaceful. I'm so relaxed. And so this week there was a lot more willingness to go right in and do the love exchange. And we listened to part two where you cancel the goals that you've had for your mother and your father and, you know, your siblings and so on. And one of the questions that I had was, maybe you can address this, is when you cancel all your goals on the mind goal management sheet that are subconscious and conscious and all the incomplete for the day, are you canceling the ones that you're unaware of that you've made your whole life, or do they have to resonate up? That was the question.
Well, I think that ultimately we're going to have to touch into those hidden parts of the mind and become conscious of what it is that's operating there. And I think that the deeper our willingness goes, the deeper we can reach into unconscious dynamics and not have to be specifically aware of something and have it move. So, you know, my take would be sort of it's an in-between kind of thing. How willing am I? See, if with the fact that we each have free will, we've been given the ability to choose whatever we choose to choose. And if we choose something and then put it away in a hidden part of the mind, there is no power in the universe that's going to go against that. And so if I have a goal and a way of functioning that I'm committed to, and I think it's beneficial to me, like we'll see people who, my fear, my anger, boy, it protects me. It's like, well, you could say that, but did you notice that when we asked the question, I may have ever done something you regret, the first answer that came up was anger? Your anger doesn't protect you. Your anger actually makes you kind of stupid. It reduces your intelligence. Well, yeah, but I need it. I have to have it. It's like, well, okay. So as long as I value something, as long as I cherish it, remember that line from the lesson we did on what is the world? The world that I see, based in hostility or fear, will remain no longer than the thought that gave it birth is cherished. So as long as I hold an unconscious goal as something even unconsciously important, and I'm not letting go of this, it's not going to change. But I think if we move into deeper and deeper states of willingness, we can reach into parts of the mind that we're not cognizant of and shift that energy. So that would be the long answer.
That's fantastic. Thank you. And I'll listen to the show again. And play it, and I encourage others to also. There's one more question that I have. Yesterday I was talking
to
one of the guys in the Laws of Living, and we have done Still Point together, and I've worked with him doing worksheets, and I couldn't quite get a handle on exactly what was going on in the in the mind shifter during Still Point. There would be like a blank. It would just be, you know, we all separate and go our separate ways, and I would go around and see how people were doing, and I would sit with him and help him to see what his mind was saying, to get clear on, you know, when he said the mind shifter, what did the mind say? And there wasn't a lot that it said. And even doing worksheets, there's very little upset, but there's very little joy also, as well as I could say it. And so we talked a little bit yesterday on the phone, and I said, do you think you could possibly, you know, he has a high score on the fear as far as his fear is prevalent, and his childhood was with an alcoholic father that was terrifying to hear the stories. And
right.
I'm thinking that he's maybe in either fawn or frozen as far as the what happens when you're in that space of fear. And I was thinking, what would be helpful? I was going to ask, how do I help him if he's numb and he doesn't know what he's afraid of? Do I do worksheets on being numb for him? You know, I do that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's such deep pain that it is just he's numbed out. And so, yes, some worksheets on being numb and a mind shifter. It's safe and healing for me to feel the terror that I had in relationship to my father. And let him start to uproot that energy and let him become aware of it and conscious of it. Is he someone who's done drugs and alcohol in the past?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I don't
a lot of times drugs.
Go ahead.
So a lot of times the drugs and alcohol can be the thing that's keeping that in a hidden place. And so, you know, just a mind shifter about the safety of it, that it's okay to go there. And, you know, quite possibly he's got judgments in his mind of things like, I couldn't survive this if I had to look at it. And so if it went in that direction, then I'd be giving him a mind shifter of, I survived the terrorism with my father on the way in, and I will thrive as it opens and leaves me. And so just communicating with his mind that it's okay and it's safe to go there. And then there'll probably come a point where there'll be a flood, where things
right,
will pop and they'll open.
Right. Well, if you remember Dan, and I know he wouldn't mind me saying his name, he wrote the Mind Shifter 14 times when you were there doing our Still Point in December. And
right.
It took the 14th time before something finally came up. And I remember Dan being the same way. I would say, well, when you think that thought, how do you feel? And he would look at me and he'd say, I don't know. And now he's beginning to have his feelings surface as
right.
He's been doing the work. You know, so
awesome.
That may be the same as true. And one thing I did tell this gentleman was that I would help him, you know, no matter what came up, I would be here to support him through it. And Ruka would be here, and the group would be here. And there's a yearning in me to continue some kind of monthly support meeting, some kind of support with the Laws of Living class, because my last class, I can see they are getting together to look at some other stuff. But I would like to just offer some kind of network for them to come back together once a month with this class once a month, even when I start a new class. Does that sound like
absolutely? Absolutely. I think that would be perfect to start a monthly support group for Laws of Living graduates.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, and maybe we go over an essay or something that we haven't had as much time to expand on that they might want to look at, and just go from there and let it unfold. Yes.
Absolutely.
So run that back.
Sounds right on track.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It does. It just. I'm getting that inkling every day. So life is, I'm so grateful for this work. I'm continuing to do my worksheets and my work too, breathing and all of the above, believe me. And it's funny to see how much a gift it is to teach work, because I'm in the intensive too, It's just timed perfectly. Ruka is very, very good to me to help me to process through and get ready for class and to also start class on time. And then it's like bringing it together into a close is almost like leading this orchestra, you know, to get that to
right.
close. It's bound to be a blessing from Ruka's help, which I do set that intention and ask for the support. But it's just
right.
amazing how it just unfolds perfectly. So here we go. I'm sure. Well,
congratulations.
Yes.
Congratulations on the awesome work that you're doing. And we are here to hold the space and support you in every way we possibly can.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm excited, and I'm doing the next right action. So thank you, and thank you for letting me speak on the show, and love to everyone who's listening and who gifted me with the time and space to talk.
All right, well, we appreciate you sharing with us, and any and every time there's something to share from classes, it's inspiring for everybody. And, you know, I hold the space that this inspires other people who've done Laws of Living who aren't teaching to pick it up and say, I'm ready to go for it, and to create a class and move forward. It's just fabulous what you're doing.
Absolutely. I encourage them, too, because I learn. It's exactly what I've heard you say before, is that every time I teach it, I learn it at a new depth.
Yes.
It's magnificent. One thing I want to say, just to add, it came to mind when I was getting ready to close, is that I start my support group out usually with us reading the commitment out loud, you know, like you're reading it to another person. And the last
right.
night I started it, I decided I was going to do it just a little bit different, that I was going to start it reading the commitment to myself, because to build the brain cells so that when we're interacting with others, that commitment of how we're going to be and what our personal code's going to be will be right there in our mind ready. And then now I could just see the whole class when we decided to read the commitment to myself out loud, there was just like, you could feel the eagerness and the energy in the room of like excitement. Like, yes, I'm gonna be good to myself too. So I just want to throw that out to the other support groups, that that's really been a powerful way to start the group. And then I always have in the past closed it with the Ruka will remove every obstacle in your way and every no stones to trip on. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Right. Yes. Once you had accepted her plan, yes.
Yes. I actually had somebody last night stop me when I was getting ready to close and say, don't you want to read that reading? And I was like, yes. So that's a sign that they really like it, which is wonderful. So they all close their eyes, and then I read it. And it's a great way to end class. I just want to put that out there, too, to the other support groups, just some info that might be helpful. So with that, I'm done. Thank you so much.
Could you imagine, Susan, if from day one, the first time you went to church, what happened was that your church leaders told you you were love, and that God is love, and in love you live, move, and have your being, and every word you ever heard was about treating yourself and others lovingly, gently, and with respect. And that's how the Creator was committed to treating you. Could you imagine how different the world would be if every child that ever went to church heard that instead of the claptrap they hear?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine
I
how
agree.
Different the game would be? Instead of waiting, these people who are 40 and 50 and 60 years of age finally hearing the truth, how different would the game be? What would happen if we woke up? What if every church started to open every service and every sermon, and it was about how I'm going to treat myself lovingly, gently, and with respect? I'm going to hold you in my heart and listen. How different would the game be than this stuff that's based in terrorism and fear and the impact that this has on the mind of a child lifelong, the self-deprecation, the self-destruction? If we were to just be able to get this energy to the level where it's accepted and moves into those circles and touches people on that level, how different could the game be? And I'm putting that out there as an affirmation that everybody who chooses to joins in, and let's hold the space that, you know, it's time for critical mass. It's time to move it to the next level of living with each other on this planet, lovingly, gently, and with respect. And Susan, to watch how you're working with yourself and your own thought structure, your own relationships, and your own dynamics, and how you just keep upgrading, and how you're working with people who, you know, the average psychologist would have a challenge working with some of the people you're working with. And you're just walking them right through, and bingo, bingo, bingo. What an awesome thing you're doing. Congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, what's walking them through is love.
Yep.
I always believe that love could do anything.
Yep. You're on track with that one.
Yeah,
and Dr. Kim said it earlier, it's the active presence of love that does the healing.
Absolutely. I agree. Yes.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you a lot, young lady.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you all as well. Thank you.
All right. Blessings. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
We do have another caller.
Great. Let's go for it.
Area code 413. You're on the air.
413. Welcome to the show. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Well, it sounded like they had music going, so I've disconnected them.
Well,
if they really want to talk,
yeah. Well, it sounds like somebody who's got nothing better to do with their days than put out energy that is the opposite of human life. But that's okay. Everybody do what everybody got to do. So just hold space. And whoever you were that came in, and the language in your music, we hold you in a blessing, and we invite you to tap into the tools and use some worksheets and watch how different your life goes should you choose to upgrade to words that treat yourself lovingly and others gently and with respect. We just invite you to join in doing that and move it forward. And we're down to about 8 minutes or so, and so we've got time for a caller or two if there's anybody else in the phone queue, you know, listening to what Susan had to share with you, with Dr. Tim shared. What kind of questions does that bring up for you? How can we support you in integrating this into your world, into your life? Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. And if you're on the phone, all you have to do is push 1, raise a little hand in the control panel, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. So if you've got a question for us, push 1. If you're on one of those stations that we can't access, 646-200-4169. Put you in the phone queue and push 1. We'll be saying hello. In the meantime, we are in Fort Lauderdale for 2 more nights. Tonight we're doing the workshop, The Circle of Life and How to Play It. And tomorrow night is Laws of Living, so come and join us. We have a week off, and my voice is going to appreciate a rest for a week. And then we'll be starting at Unity of Pompano. We've got 7 days of workshops at Unity of Pompano, starting a week from Sunday. And so if you're in the South Florida area, come and join us. We'll be doing that series. And then Jeannie, the next weekend, will be at the Duncan Center with a group of ladies from Unity of Pompano doing Healing the Whole Woman. And I think there are still 6 spaces, perhaps, available for that workshop. I think you're getting a pretty full house. But if you ladies want to do something on the next level, then that's a place to do it. And beyond that, we'll be, a week from Saturday, we'll be in back at UTC, Universal Truth Center, in Miami. They had such a arousing response to the Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing Workshop that they contacted us and asked if we would schedule another one. And so we're going to do that a week from Saturday to UTC. And then the following week we'll be doing 3 days of workshops on relationships there. So we've got lots going on. We'd be appreciative of hearing your sweet voice. We've got about 5 minutes left. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room or anybody with hands up?
Everybody in the chat room today, there have been several people, but they're all just guests, so nobody's talking to me. And there's nobody else has their hand up. There's quite a few people on the switchboard, so if somebody presses one, you're next in line. We're down to about 3 minutes, so we do have time for a question.
Beyond that, I'll just say that if you're ready to take your work to the next level, we'll be leaving the South Florida area in a couple of weeks and heading up to Sebring. We'll do 6 days of workshops at Unity of Sebring, and then we'll be in Orlando, and starting on the 17th of April, we'll be starting concurrent 9-day intensives. Jeannie will be doing a 9-day healing the whole woman. I'll be doing a 9-day why is this happening to me again? And then we'll slip into a 12-day teacher training. The first 3 days of that teacher training will be based in the personal code evaluation. And we thank Mark for the fact that we now have the personal code evaluation available on computers. So if you are teaching this work, you've got it. We'll be able to make available to you a tool that you can hand to people and have them walk through an evaluation and tell exactly in which arena, whether their challenge is stress management or love of self or love of others or love of truth, freedom from fear, freedom from hostility, love for laws of living, nutrition, digestion, toxicity, use of will, or validity or consistency. So there's a whole scale for each of those arenas. And so as a teacher, we'll be able to provide you with the access to that material. And so you can pinpoint, the same way as we do in intensives, so you can pinpoint exactly the area that somebody needs to work in and give them assignments based in their specific profile. So we'll be doing 3 days of training on that. This will be the first time we've done that on how to interpret and understand and administer the personal code evaluation. And then we'll go into a 9-day teacher training. And teacher training is something that's designed, it's kind of a dual purpose sort of thing. On one hand, there are people who come to teacher training who just really love the Why Is This Happening To Me Again workshop and want to deepen their understanding of it. And we literally will spend the full 9 days on just the principles of first century Aramaic forgiveness and Why Is This Happening To Me Again. So we'll go into depth in that particular workshop. And then there are those who, of course, it's a teacher training, who want to teach it, who will take the work and then move forward in the world and start to teach it. And we love to support teachers, and we certainly love it when somebody steps out and says, I'm going for it, you know, just as Susan has done so powerfully. It's pretty awesome. And so we invite you to look at your schedule. April the 17th, we'll start those concurrent 9 days, and then once they're complete, we'll move into the teacher training and the personal code evaluation work. So that's on the schedule for April. It's kind of cool. There's a hotel in Florida that a young lady who has done this work and 2 years ago brought 8 people from her staff to an intensive to do the work. She and her father are developing this hotel, and their direction is the why work, that they're doing the fresh and raw food, and they're teaching the forgiveness process and supporting people in healing. So we'll be doing that teacher training at that hotel in Orlando. So we've got a beautiful facility, and we'll have both individual and private rooms available for those intensives at starting April 17th, and we'd be delighted if you chose to come and join us. Again, we invite you to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow, and if you create the best year yet of your eternal life, you'll have given the world an awesome gift, and we'll join you in doing that. So you have a blessed day. Lots of love.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.